Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The he. Who's the subject here? The subject is the Father. Your heavenly Father gave us Jesus. Our heavenly Father saw humanity's need for a Savior. He saw the Father, the Creator God, Father, before you ever knew him as Father, he still had a heart of a father, and his heart of the Father had to do something. The heart of the Father had to get involved in lost humanity's existence. The heart of the Father had to intervene. And the only way to bring us back to sonship was to send his only son, to send the son. So he, the Father, gave. He gave heaven's best. He gave his only begotten son. In John 3:16, a verse that's quoted your whole life, you've heard it over and over. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son. But see, that really goes back to the heart of a father. If you have a father that really loves you, he'll help you. He's there to give a hand, isn't he? I'm talking a father who really cares about you. Now, granted, put out of your mind if you had a bad dad or a bad mom or a bad parent, because he's not earthly. He's a heart that's so full of love beyond our understanding. But the Father's heart is to always to give. I want you to know that until you know how much he loves you, until you know how much he cares, prayer won't mean as much to you. Prayer takes on a whole new, it takes on a whole new perspective when you see the Papa's heart, the Father's heart. And the only and the best way, the only and the best way, and I'll say it again, the only and the best way to see the love of the Father is to look at what he allowed Jesus to go through. Look at what he set back and allowed Jesus to endure. Because this verse tells us and gives us an insight to Father's heart. And Paul writes here, he said, he, the Father, spared not his own son. Didn't spare him. Didn't spare Jesus. Didn't spare Jesus from bearing your grief. He didn't spare Jesus from being beaten for your healing. He didn't spare Jesus 1 ounce of pain. He didn't spare Jesus going to hell for 3 days and suffering the pain of fire and flesh burning off. He didn't spare the Father. Didn't spare Jesus one tiny thing to endure for you and me. Didn't spare him 1 ounce of anything. Did not give him 1 ounce of sympathy. Didn't give him 1 ounce of pity. Didn't step in and intervene in 1 ounce of his suffering, because all of it for us was laid on him for our sake. That's how much Father loves you. And you can see it throughout the scriptures. For he did not spare his own son. Didn't spare him any pain. He endured the full brunt of sin in his body, in his soul, in his mind. Jesus was a spirit. He possessed a soul and he lived in a body because he was all man. And he didn't come here as a God, even though he was the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. But he became a man. In Philippians, it says he stripped himself of all power and all deity and humbled himself and became a man. Subjected himself to being a man, all the elements of the life of manship, manhood, felt pain like you feel, felt grief like you feel, was sensitive to hurt feelings, was sensitive to when someone ridiculed him. I've heard it said there was over 100 Sanhedrin that he was sent to the night of interrogation. And every one of them, with their full face of their hands, spit in his face and smacked him in the face as hard as they could. This is before they ever sent him to Pilate. And smacked him as hard as they could. ridiculed him, and spit in his face and pulled at his beard. He stood and dealt with that because he was delivered by God. He had to go through these things for us. He had to. And when they put those crown of thorns on his head, God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You have a sound mind because of Jesus. You have power because of what Jesus did. So, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all of us. Now here's the question. There's a question in this statement. It tells you what he did. And then it says, okay, if you understand what he did, here's the question, folks. Here's the question, believer, child of God. This doesn't apply to sinners. This applies to the child of the living God. This applies to the one who's dealing with junk in this life. If he did that, then it asks the question, how shall he not with Jesus, because he raised him from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is very much right here involved in your life. He's right now involved in what's going on in this universe. He said, how shall he not with him also freely give you a little bit of something? A smidgen? A stingy God that wants to barely get you by? Just wants you barely making it? You see how the enemy skews our thoughts about God? How shall he not also freely give you all things? Does it not say this? Do you know that this scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? If you know Father's heart, and you know that he sent Jesus, then you know that with Jesus you can do all things who strengthens you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, if God ever tells you to do something, he would never ask you to do something he wouldn't give you the strength to do it. Ever. If he ever tells you to go witness to somebody, you can do it. And you better do it. If he asks you to pray for somebody, you better pray. Because he gave you the strength to do it. He would never ask you to do something and not expect you to do it because he's going to give you the strength to do it. That's some good news, isn't it? You don't have to be afraid that you can't do anything if you've got Jesus. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I don't have any strength in myself, but he is the one who strengthens me. Okay, look at Psalm 34. I want to go to the paper now. Psalm 34, 5. I say this all the time. I hear this out of my spirit. This comes up out of my spirit to my mind all the time. And it says, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Do you know what that really says? You know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful poetic lyrics. It's beautiful poetic wording. But what it says is this. When you really are awake, when you really, your eyes are really open, and you really see God for who he really is, and you really have your eyes wide open, and you know Father God is your heavenly Father in all that he is to you personally, you know that you are not ashamed to tell the whole world about it. It creates a boldness in you. It creates a determination in you. You won't shirk back. You won't shrink back. You won't cower down. You won't act like, well, maybe it's not true. You will be as bold as a lion. The word of God says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. And that means in the face of danger. That means in the face of ridicule. That means in the face of the devil. That means in the face of a mean husband. That means in the face of anything or anybody, you will not be ashamed and you won't back down. Because what are you got to be ashamed of? If God be for you, who can be against you? He's got your back. He's your rear guard. He will not let any, oh my goodness, he won't withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. He said, no man can pluck you out of my hand. He told me that. He said, no man can pluck you out of my hand. I used to look at him and say, I feel sorry for you. You don't touch me. I belong to Jesus. And they would look at me like, who do you think you are? I'm a child of God. I'm blood bought. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. You know, in the spirit, there's no gender. You all know that, right? So, it makes you bold. It makes you strong. It makes you courageous. You look to him, your face is lightning. They are not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. This fits me right here. I can say these words. I looked unto him. There was a day, and there'll be, and I'm sure in everyone's life here, there's been a day when you really looked to God. Because you couldn't look to anybody else. There was nobody else around that cared. There was no one else who could help you. You were going down to the last count. Anybody been there? And you knew this was it. If you don't show up, God, I'm out of here. I'm going to die if you don't intervene in my life. And I looked to him and him alone. I didn't look to anybody except Almighty God. And this heart of the Father who had already sent Jesus. I just didn't understand all that. But he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also by him freely give you all things? See, I didn't know that scripture existed when I looked to him. But I know it now. And I understand it now. And now my eyes are open. Now my eyes are enlightened. And I just love him. We love him because he first loved us, right? Well, thank God he loved us. We was a mess. I was a mess. I was the worst mess. Nobody was a worse mess than I was. So don't you ever be ashamed. Because you're not to be ashamed or embarrassed. Matthew chapter 6. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over and over and over. The one of the things, and you keep in mind how Jesus talked about the kingdom and how he talked about Father God. Those were the two main themes of the New Testament. Two main themes of the New Testament is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Well, guess what? It's already come. Jesus said, it's come. It's come. So look what he says in Matthew 6:3. But when thou doest alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth, that thine alms may be seen in secret, may be in secret. Now, that's just talking about doing something good for somebody. That's just a kind deed. I mean, I don't care if you give 10 cents to somebody that's, you're in a line, a checkout line, and somebody's short 10 cents. I mean, even 10 cents. And you step up to the place, here, let me give that 10 cents. I'll take care of that. Or it could be $10, or it could be 20, it could be $100. It doesn't matter. If you don't do it to be seen, the Bible says your Father takes note of that good thing you just did. Your Father saw that in secret. As long as you're not trying to get everybody to see what good you are, you did that in secret. You just slipped that money over here. Take that. And it says, the Father, thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself. See, this is a promise that Father gets involved in your life. Father gets involved. There is no good deed that goes unseen, I'll tell you. He sees every good thing you do. He sees every good thing. And it says the Father himself will reward you openly. Openly. Did you ever see people just crazy blessed? Did you ever see people just blessed? Well, that's because God's rewarding them openly for something they've done in secret. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites that pray to be seen. Said, but when you pray, verse 6, enter into your closet, which means a secret place. And when you have shut your door, pray to thy Father. Now, this is something I want to bring out, because I could bring out so many revelations, little things. Sometimes little things make a lot of difference, you know it. Little things, like a little simple prayer in your closet. It says, what's it say? The Father, they're talking to Father. Did I just not tell you that Father, here's your enlightenment. You go into your prayer closet and you've got your eyes wide open. You have enlightenment. You have understanding. You understand that he said he delivered Jesus for you. And here's the picture of Jesus, all his suffering. And now you get to go to the prayer closet and you get to remember that Jesus went through all that agony just for you. And God made sure Jesus went through that just for you. And so do you think he's going to say no to you? Huh? Did he not say he'll give you freely all things? Remember Jesus. I thank God for Jesus. I go to the Father and I say, Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to me, that you could give me freely all things. And so I ask in Jesus' name. And that automatically, you talk about a faith booster. When your eyes are enlightened, and it makes you so bold with God, and it makes you so unashamed to ask God for anything. You can ask God for anything. I'm saying anything. Because he says he'll give you all things freely. And you've got to see it from the right perspective. Your prayer life will totally take a 180-degree turnaround. You won't go to God like a sniffling little baby wimpy calf, wondering if he cares. You will go so boldly to God to receive grace, help, and mercy in the times of need, because he that sent his own son and didn't spare him one ounce of pain, one ounce of grief, one ounce of suffering, he will give you freely anything you want to ask him. Ask him anything. Just get bold with God. Help him. Ask him anything. You cannot come up with something he can say no to. If it's good, he'll never say no to you. It reminds me of a verse in Ephesians where it says, unto him, the Father, that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think, according to the power that's working in you. And what I'm sharing this morning will give you some power booster in your faith and in your revelation life, in your prayer life. Your prayer life is the most important thing you can develop, because your time with God is never wasted, ever. But it's wasted if you don't know who you're talking to. It's a waste of your time to go in there and try to talk God and manipulate God to do something that he's already done through Jesus. And a lot of people waste a lot of time praying to God, saying prayers that don't go any higher than the ceiling, because they have no enlightenment, they have no revelation, they do not know, and they don't know God, and they don't know Papa God. They don't know the heart of God. It's to give. To give. He's already got it stamped paid. He's already got it stamped already. Your name's already on it. He's just waiting on you to come to the table and ask for it. We don't have because we ask not. You have not because you ask not. And then you turn around and start asking God for things just because you want to look better than somebody else. And you want to have a nicer car. You have a nicer place. You want to look better. That's greed or that's covetousness. And God will not add to your flesh in any way, shape, or form. He won't help you out when your flesh comes to it all. Are you getting something? You're getting something. See, the Father, if you'll just get enlightened, look to him. Get acquainted with Father, of Papa, your Father heart. And let him open your eyes to see just how freely he wants to bless you. Healing already belongs to you because of Jesus' death, suffering. Look at the rest of this verse. Verse 8. Be you not therefore likened to them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you even ask him. But after this manner pray you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then he goes on and starts talking about the model prayer. The model prayer is not the Lord's Prayer. It really is named wrong. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, because you don't see in the name of Jesus in that prayer at all, do you? The disciples under the old covenant needed a model prayer to introduce them to the Father. They did not know God as Father. The Jewish nation never knew God as Papa. They knew him as Jehovah. They knew him as the God who was the judge. They knew God as the God Moses introduced to them with the Ten Commandments and all the ordinances and all the sacrifices. They knew God as the judge of the universe. But they didn't know Papa. And Jesus came to reveal Papa. And so that our prayer life could take on a whole, our lives can take on a whole new dimension. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, and nobody in here is a baby Christian. Nobody in here should be babies, because you all eating some meat in here. You all eat meat here. You've been hearing the word for years. You've been in church long enough to know some basic things. And it's time to wean yourself from the milk of the word and get a hold of some good meat. Learn about who you are in Christ. Find about how to walk upon scorpions and serpents and nothing by the enemy shall enemies hurt you. Learn how to speak to mountains and say, mountain, be removed in the name of Jesus. Jesus said that you could do that. Well, it's just time to step up and do it. So we're learning. We're learning how to walk as sons and daughters of the living God. But as long as you're as a child, as long as you're a baby wah-wah Christian, as long as you don't know who you are in Christ, you will act just like somebody who doesn't even know God. A servant. We're not servants, we're sons. But a son is no different when it's a child. Think of this, what the analogy is. As long as you're just a 10-year-old toddler or an 8-year-old kid or a 2-year-old toddler and you're just running around the house and you're right there eating right next to the servants' kids. They're not heirs, they're servants. Those children are servants, or even though grown-up servants. They don't have heirship. They're not going to inherit father's house. They don't have any inheritance. They have no claim to the throne. They have no claim to the royalty. They have no claim as a servant. You're a servant. You get paid for being a servant, right? You earn something for servitude. You know, you get a wage. We don't get wages. We walk in heirship. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And to be a joint heir with Christ means this. We don't get a little piece of heaven. We don't get a little piece of what Jesus owns. We get the same portion. Same portion. My grandpa say left me 1,000 acres. And then he said, I'm going to make your sister Jo, my sister Joanna, I'm going to make her joint heir with you. That means Joanna and I both own the 1,000 acres equally. Do you understand there's a difference? And God just giving you a smidgen of heaven. He's giving you all of heaven in Jesus. You're a joint heir with Christ. Jesus owns it all. So, but you don't have understanding enough as a child until you grow up and spiritually understand your position to execute the will and enjoy the benefits of what the will has given you. You can take a child to a will reading and they can sit there, but there's a time appointed that kid cannot accept that money in that estate until he comes to age and knows and has a responsibility enough about him to do something with the right things with the money. Do you understand? That's why trust funds are created. Because they know that kid that would not know what to do with that $100,000 or $200,000. So God has provided a way for his children to grow up before they step into full heirship and becomes a part of what and operate in the things that he's provided as sons. So that's what Paul is really saying here. I'm not sure if I explained it very well, but that's what he's saying. He's talking to children of God here. He's not talking to sinners. Sinners don't have any rights to anything God owns. You got to be born again. You got to be born into the family. And so I'm getting ready to share that. So he says, an heir. See, we're heirs. As long as he's a child. Time to grow up, saint. Time to grow up and get enlightened. Find out who Papa is. Find out who you are in Christ. Learn how to pray effectively. Learn how to believe. So he says, as long as he's a child, he differs nothing from the servant. Though he be Lord of all. Y'all see this? You see it? See, God has to reveal some things to us. Whoa, that's right. That's what it says. Lord of all. Boy, that tickles some folks' religious knee bone, I'll tell you right now. Did she just say what I think? Yes, I did. That's what the word said. But he's under a tutor. Why are we under tutors? Why do you need a pastor? Why do you need teachers? Why is the fivefold ministry so urgently needed in the body of Christ? Because we've got to learn these things. These things are things spiritually discerned and spiritually taught by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. So he goes on, and he's your tutor. The Holy Ghost is your tutor. Just let him teach you something. You know, it's hard for the Holy Spirit to teach somebody some things. It was hard for the Holy Ghost to set me down and teach me some things because I was running around trying to teach everybody what I knew. I wasn't spending enough time reading the word myself. I was out here trying to save the world, and he had to shut me down a little bit and say, "Hon, I need to talk to you. You need to quit running here, running there, running here, running there, and doing all this stuff so I can spend some time with the Father." And then he says, verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heirs of God and through Christ." We've got something here that we need to really honestly look at and really grasp, because he's giving such a clear picture of what a son does, how a son acts, how a son believes. It's a positional thing. It's a relational thing, relationship thing. It's a thing called relationship. It's a thing called fellowship. It's called being a son, understanding sonship. You are a son. And it's time we start understanding our place as a son and acting like a son, thinking like a son, talking like a son, moving around in this life like a son. That's what he's talking about here. It changes everything. It changes your whole life when you start becoming a son, when you know you're a son. Not trying to be a son. I'm a son. Accept that truth. You are a son. Now, yes, we needed tutors. Yes, we needed the Holy Ghost to teach us these things. But what, you got to grow up sometimes and say, "Yeah, I got it. I'm a son." Most Christians are so sin conscious, they don't know what it is to be son conscious. They're sin conscious Christians. And I feel sorry for them, because they always run around asking God to forgive them, and they never feel like God loves them. They never feel like God wants to answer their prayer, because they don't see themselves as a son. It's a huge thing. Huge difference. I know, because I've been there. And there's the fullness of time has come. God sent his own son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. When did that happen? That happened 2,000 years ago. So what he's saying here is that there is no more sin problem. There is no more sin issue. When Jesus went to the cross, he dealt with sin completely. He laid all the sin on Jesus. That means Jesus will never have to come back down and go to a cross again. And no one else can. In other words, there is no more reason for Jesus to come and die on the cross again. He did it once. All the sin of humanity, past, present, future, was laid on Jesus. He became a curse. Sin has been dealt with. It's been taken out of the way. The blood of Jesus has been sent into heaven. Jesus saw Mary Magdalene on the way up to take his blood to the true tabernacle. You see, the tabernacle Moses got a picture of, he had to go to heaven to see that blueprint so he could come back here and reduplicate it under the old covenant. But the true tabernacle, all that Moses saw in the blueprint, is the actual tabernacle, the actual mercy seat, the actual throne of God, the Holy of Holies. He saw all that. Oh, my goodness. 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and was on that mountain Sinai and came back with the Ten Commandments. And those Ten Commandments were to be put inside that ark with the manna and the rod of Aaron. I'm telling you, there's some revelation God wants to show us. But we're still under tutors, some folks are. And that's okay. I'm still under tutorship, as the Holy Ghost teaches. You never learn at all. But I tell you, the most important thing to get is your sonship. That you're a son. You're a son. That's why you can be bold with God. That's why Romans or Hebrews chapter 4 talks about being bold with God. When the fullness of time was come, and it came, God sent his son. In other words, what that's saying is that everything had to be correct. The conditions had to be right. The Roman government was in power over the whole world at that time. There was a time that it was perfect for the son to show up as the redeemer of mankind. There was a perfect time for him to die on the cross. There was a perfect time for him to go to hell. There was a perfect time. God said the fullness of time came, and he sent his son. And it says, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. I wish I had another hour because I would give you the revelation God gave me about this. And it's wonderful. It's just so wonderful. It's in the Word. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Now that's very key. That is so key. Because until you receive the Holy Ghost, you are not adopted son of God. It take the does the Holy Ghost enters into the, a lost person, somebody that's as heathen as I was, and as lost as I was, and we all were there, and came into my heart. I believe that God sent Jesus. And I asked for forgiveness. I asked him to come live in my heart. And guess what he did? He did it. He did it. Not that I had to talk him into it. He already did it. You see, he already sent Jesus. He already died on the cross. It was waiting on me to act on what he did. He was waiting on me. God wasn't lost. I was lost. He was waiting on me to step up and say, I think I'll take advantage of this. I think I'll take advantage of this salvation plan of yours. I think I'll take it. You're smarter than I am. And I think I'm a dumb cookie if I don't take advantage of what you provided 2,000 years ago on that cross in salvation plan. And I want it. And I want to be a son. And so please give me the Holy Ghost. Well, he filled me the Holy Ghost. And I've been speaking in tongues for 37 years. Every single day for 37 years, I pray in tongues. It's powerful. Because it's the Holy Ghost who's my tutor. He's my teacher and he's yours too. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks divine secrets. Revelation knowledge comes through the Holy Ghost. And if you're praying in tongues, you're speaking mysteries. Mysteries of the universe. And I mean, there's just been things just come to me as my goodness. Praying in tongues is powerful. And it comes to me in the least likely times. Mowing the grass. Weed eating. Giving a cat a bath. Oh, wow, that's cool. I saw that. Bam, it's like, it's not something of your head. It's something of your spirit that kind of just comes up and just, it's enlightenment. Wow, I never saw that before. See, do you see how exciting it is to have a tutor on board? Holy Ghost lives in you. And he's on board to teach you. He's called the teacher. Read the notes. It's in here. But in the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, and he did that. Just remember, he's never going to send him back again to go through all that. Thank God. That we might receive the adoption of sons, and because you are sons, not trying to get to be a son. I'm not trying to become a son. I am a son. Because you are sons, here's what you got. God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. With confidence and with boldness, you can say, Daddy, Daddy, I look to him. My face is lightened, and I'm not ashamed. I don't care what problem comes my way. I don't care what trial comes into my path. I don't care what anybody says or what anybody does. I don't care what my bank account tells me. I know what God has said about me. All things belong to me. All things are yours. I can do all things. I'm a son of the living God. Do you think I worry about anything? Who as a son would worry about anything? He that delivered him up for us all, how shall he not by him also freely give us all things? That's an awesome place to live. To walk in your divine assignment, to walk in your divine purpose, to find out what God wants you to do is the greatest goal in your life. Don't let any man stop you from finding your perfect place in the kingdom. Don't let anybody hinder you or tell you you're not perfect in God's eyes. He made you perfect. He doesn't make junk. You've heard that saying? Well, he doesn't. He became sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for you, that you could be made the righteousness of God in him. That's a trade-off now. To give Jesus to become sin, to become a curse so you could be made righteous. In other words, You've got now a right standing in the presence of God. You don't have to repent of every little thing you've done through the day. You walk around knowing you are the righteousness of God because the Holy Ghost is living in you, and you having a confidence in Him, in you, that you're a child of the living God. You're a son. You have position. You have rights. You have boldness with God. I'm telling you, when you're living in Father's house, you can go get out of the refrigerator anything you need. When I was home, did I ask my parents if I could get a sandwich? Did I ask them if I could raid the refrigerator to find some ham sandwich? Well, you know, ham spread. Joel ate every bit of it. She never got in trouble for it. Because that's Papa's house. You see, we have a right to raid God's refrigerator. We have a right to seek and ask and receive it freely, all things. This is something you have to know. Most Christians live out their entire Christian walk trying to make God happy, trying to get God's approval, when He's already approved you in Christ. He's already happy with you. Because when He sees you, He sees Jesus. He sees the Son that He sent so you could have sonship. That's what it says here. He sent the Spirit of His Son into your heart. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of His Son in your heart. And guess what the Spirit of His Son says? Papa! You can cry Papa. With the same kind of heart Jesus cried Papa. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. I know you always hear me. He told the people around, He said, "Oh, Father, I know you always hear me. But for their sakes, I'm saying that." He walked around, and everything he did, he knew Father was approval, totally approved of it. He knew who he was. He was a son. He understood sonship. Jesus was the first begotten son. Now you are also sons because you've been given the Spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of His Son living in you. Where you cry, Abba, Father, now. You can talk to Father. So powerful. Everybody's so quiet, they must be thinking. Wherefore, here's the wherefore. Thou art no more a servant. So get that slave mentality. Get that orphan mentality out of your mind, out of your life. You're not an orphan, you're a son. You have a right to anything the Father has. You're in Father's house. You can now go boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace, mercy, and help in the times of need. Anyone that come to me, Jesus said, I'll in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. Learn of me. See, we're afraid of God. When God just wants you to get to know how much He loves you. Look at what He did, put Jesus through, spared not anything for you. Now, Romans chapter 8 says very much the same exact thing. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. This chapter 8, 500 times in my life. Maybe read this a lot. And I want to keep reading it and keep reading it until I get this in me. This becomes a part of me just like my hand's a part of me. And I want to understand what He's saying here. I'm not in the flesh. Are you kidding? I feel like I'm in my flesh. He says, no, you're in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, and He does. See, we just really do not have a relationship with the Holy Spirit like we should. We've got to work on being God inside minded. We've got to develop a God inside mentality. We've got to know who lives in you is the Spirit of the Son. Jesus lives in you through the Holy Ghost. And He's closer than a brother. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Anything you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it you. Hitherto, if you ask nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. God wants you full of joy. But your flesh is your hindrance. Your flesh will always hinder you from the things of the Spirit because they're in war with each other. The flesh wars against the Spirit against the flesh. So we got to make up our mind. I'm crossing over that line and I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm talking about your human spirit. You know, I'm not a robot. He didn't put invisible strings on my hand. I have a human spirit that makes decisions. My human spirit, that's the real you. That's really where you are really in control. That's the driver's seat of your life. Look to your heart. Look to your spirit. Look to what you want to do in your heart. Don't let any man control that. Be free to live and be at peace with God in your spirit. Now, your head will talk you out of things your spirit is trying to tell you to do. Because human reasoning always tries to trump. That's the flesh. The flesh always tries to use human reasoning, human logic, to talk you out of the things the Holy Spirit or with talk. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't talk to your mind. God's not a brain. God's not a mind. God's a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So your human spirit can hear God, and you'll tune that, fine tune that, just like fine tuning a transistor radio or a television antenna to pick up the signal from God. The more you read the word, the more you pray, the more clearly your heavenly Father's voice and Jesus's voice will be through the spirit of your spirit man is tuned in. That's why praying in tongues is so powerful. It just gets your spirit built up, charging, edify your spirit. That's why it says in Jude, read the book of Jude. He said, praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up in your most holy faith. Building yourself up means charging yourself. Your batteries get low, you charge them up, don't you? Verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and he does, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Is that just when you die? No, it's every day. You need to be quickened every day. That quickened means to be made alive. So let's read on, verse 13. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. You know what the definition of insanity is? Keep doing the same thing over and over, thinking you're going to get a different result. So if I kept doing it in my flesh and kept doing it in my flesh and it never worked, it didn't work. And then you keep trying to do it. Well, eventually, maybe you'll wake up and say, maybe I need to do it God's way. Maybe I need to try God's way of doing things. Right? If we live after the flesh, you're going to die. In other words, you're going to get death. You're going to get failure. Death doesn't mean just you'll die. It means it's not going to be fruitful. God's got a fruitful way for us to live. And he says, for as many, I love this verse. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. What's it say? They're the sons of God. Just because you call yourself a Christian, sonship comes by hearing the voice of God and being led by God, being obedient to God. Sons obey their fathers because they know there's an advantage in that. I mean, you know, you've got an operation going on. You've got, say you've got a hay baling operation going on. And you've got all these appointments and all these fields to plow. And all these fields to grass to cut. And the sons are involved in the operation. And the sons go to the father who's got all the contacts. And the father says, okay, you need to be here a certain time. And you need to take the hay baler and you need to do this and cut. And the son says, yes, sir, I'm on it. And out they go. We don't know how to take orders from the Father. He gives us his Son. He gave us the Son, the Spirit, to hear the orders. So if you're led for a reason so you can get something accomplished in this world. If you're not going to be an obedient son, just go back home until you learn obedience. I mean, honestly, it is about being productive. It's about being fruitful. It's about giving him glory. Because every time you produce something he asks you to do, every time you go hit your knees and pray when you don't have time to pray, every time you go witness for someone, you ain't got time because somebody's taking up your time. You are not listening to God giving you direction. You're not being led. Being led is a very important thing. Now, I've missed it many times, but this is the prerequisite. This is the hallmark of a son, is to be led by the Spirit of God. It's the truth. I mean, it's just the way it is. And it's so good. Verse 15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption. That sounds familiar. A spirit of adoption. He said that in Galatians, didn't he? You've been given a spirit of adoption, not a spirit of orphanage, not an orphan spirit, an adoption. I tell you what, if you're adopted into a family, you have every single legal right of a son. They say that what parents do sometimes. They adopt a troubled kid. They tell them. They counsel them. I've been around these people that are planning on adopting a child that's come out of an abused home. I think it's wonderful. But they will tell you, if you sign these adoption papers, it doesn't matter if that kid turns out to be an axe murderer. That is your kid. And you're responsible for that kid till it turns 18. You're the father, you're the mother, and you're responsible for their well-being, how they're raised, the whole 9 years. And the state will hold you accountable. Doesn't matter if it wants to chop everything up in your house. If you're adopted, you're it, honey. That's your mom and dad. And that's the way it is in the Father's house. When you're adopted and you've received Christ, you're adopted. You're His. Lock, stock, and barrel. He can't send you back. Isn't that good to know, though? Okay. All right, is everybody getting something out of this message? This is Father's Day. So I get to brag on my father. I'm talking about my father, my Papa God, and what He did for me and what He did for us. And verse... Okay, so we cry this Father, Papa. Abba just means Papa. Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, you suffer with Him, you shall also be glorified together. This is the story of the prodigal. And everybody could be a prodigal. Anybody can be a prodigal. I could decide to be a prodigal. Anybody can backslide. Anybody. But what Father did is amazing. The minute the son who took every penny and squandered it did, he went back and said, I've sinned against you and I'm asking you to forgive me. And what did Father do? Verse 22. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. I mean, just this kid come back with hog manure on him. I mean, had been filled his belly with pig manure and pig husk. Anybody ever slopped pigs? I'm telling you, they're some nasty critters. And he was digging out the husk out of the hog manure and eating it. Because he was that hungry. He comes to Father and said, rags out clothes, nasty hair, hadn't had a bath, smelled like a pig. And he said, give him the best robe in the house. Put my ring with the insignia on his finger. My son, which was dead, is now alive. It's an amazing God. Just doesn't make you want to cry. Papa, my son was dead, but now he's back. He never stopped longing for that son. Never. Never, ever did he ever forget that son's face, that son's touch, the smell of his hair. Even though he took everything he owned and left, he longed for that son to come back. That's why I reach out to souls the way I do, because humanity once belonged to God. All human beings once were His sons. You know why I know that? Because Luke chapter 3. See Luke chapter 3 right here? If you go to Luke chapter 3, you'll see the whole genealogy. And the very last line says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Adam was a son of God. Adam was the first son, and Jesus was the second son. He's called the second Adam. The father and his family, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Heaven and earth. Glory. Glory. I sense the Father talking to us today. Did the Father talk to us today? Wanting us to know Him. He wants us to know His heart. If you go to the very last page of Luke chapter 11, go this last page on here, and up here at the top of verse, Jesus said these words. chapter 11, verse 9. But I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that asketh findeth, and he that knocketh it shall be opened. Father, I seal this word today. You said it would not return void, but it would accomplish what you sent it to do. I thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit who lives in us as believers, that you sent the spirit of adoption whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. And that cry is heard every single time we cry it. We know, Father, you said you withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. We know, Lord, that you said that your hand is not short and that it cannot save. Your ear is not deaf, it cannot hear. I thank you, Father, that you look to and fro upon this earth, looking for those that you can show yourself mighty and strong to. So, Father, we're your people. So we're asking, Father, for great revelations, great understanding. Grant us, Father, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, the knowledge of you. Give us eyes of understanding that we have revelation. Give us that revelation of who you are, who we are. Give us that, Lord, so we can know you in a personal way. And I thank you for this now, in Jesus' name. I don't know if